welcome to episode 26 of Hello Fairview, your local podcast made right here in Fairview for people in Fairview, Tennessee, and the surrounding areas. This is a weekly show released every Wednesday featuring stories that aim to inform and inspire. Local radio stations and newspapers don't exist in small towns like ours, so we'll use Hello Fairview to fill that void with the news related to Fairview. This is a value for value podcast, which means you contribute what you can based on the value you receive. This concept was founded by the Podfather himself, Adam Curry, and his co-host John C. Dvorak of the No Agenda Show over 18 years ago. Currently, this is just a one-man operation, so if you have any ideas, events, business opportunities, or job openings, please don't hesitate to let me know. Use the contact form on the website, and we'll work to get the updates out on the next episode. You are a producer of this show. You are not the product because your time and attention are not being sold to advertisers for their value. Some shows will be longer, others will be shorter, but I'll do my best to always keep things relevant. Traffic time. Well, it's definitely still construction busy. You can still wait 5 to 20 minutes to make a left in the morning and afternoon and right turn on Highway 100 at Old Cox or to the rec center. The sidewalk project has extended all the way down. As you've seen, the wattles, those little straw things that are going all up and down. So those are going in. You can see them installing all the drains. So that's starting to go through there. We'll have some updates in city news on that because they've actually posted some stuff, which is great. And they finally have used they built a mini bridge over the culvert. So that's finally happening. So now you can actually see the road is widening. Before it just looked like it was kind of chaos, but they know what they're doing. There's also been a lot of lane closures that have caused serious backups, and it's really luck of the draw if it's going to be a bad day or a good day to make a turn on Highway 100. So good luck out there. Red light update, we still got three, Old Cox Public and Walmart. Still not getting any, the city center and entrance has those lights hung but not turned on, and Cumberland and 100 will eventually have some when that expansion occurs, which will be a couple months from now, I think, before we'll start seeing that. I'm not sure how either one of those two is going to hurt or help. I hope we'll have to see. Because the crossing guard manages that during school closures, and so we'll have to see how that goes from there. It was mentioned after last show that there are two more red lights in 40, for a total of five red lights in the town, because I-40 is within the city limits, and I never really thought about that because those properties are so surrounded by the county that I didn't think Fairview city limits ran up there based on the annexations around Old Cox and Elrod and everything around there at the edge. But I guess we do have five red lights. And I even put a little map there in the show notes there so you can see that. And then here we go. Here's that update from there. Information from TDOT. Crews have completed necessary extension of a box culvert just southwest of the Cumberland Drive, as well as the grading to install the storm drains around the intersections of Fairview Boulevard. We saw that the other day at the Fairview Elementary. They're starting to lay all the concrete drain pipes around there. So those are going. So you're going to see that. They closed the road a couple times to unload those from the trucks. And so the contractor of this project continues to work around Cumberland Drive and the school, resulting in single lane closures and flagging. Be aware of the contractor crews may be in the area clearing debris from the winter storm off the routes too. So basically a double trouble on Highway 100, where we're going to have closures because of the construction and then closures because of the tree pickup. And then the TDOT lane closure report for the city of Fairview during this week, basically the State Road 96, there's some sewer and concrete work around Mile Marker 10, some water line improvements around that same place, and then our Williamson County State Road 100 sidewalk repair, 3:16 to 3:20, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. There'll be flagging operations. I've seen them do that a little bit more, and that's at Landmark 3 to 5.5, which is basically from Bowie all the way down to the rec center. And then you can see there's some I-40 debris cleanup, 840, they're doing some resurfacing, and so intermittent closures, since the way that road has jumps down it, we'll see how that goes. And then there's a couple others related to Davidson County and everything else that really those don't apply to us. So I'll remove them out of there. So it's just short and sweet. And City Center, they're digging over there again, which appears to be utility road. And I made a comment last time that you could see through Bowie Park, but what I really meant, I guess, is that you could see around it and through it, because those used to all be trees to the right of the park, and now those trees are all gone, and it is just dirt and fill. So you can definitely see around it, through it, however you want to look at it. All right, well, we're growing. City news. Well, things are definitely rolling along pretty normal. The one that still mentioned it, this is the last time, is that the three-way stop, that stop sign was added at Horn Tavern and Cleveland Lane. So this will take people a while to get through there. So make sure you're extra careful around that intersection, because there could still be people blowing through it. And the text notice. Basically, the city posted that there have been aware of a survey that was sent out to citizens regarding the Fairview's area feature. Please note that this was not distributed by the city. And basically, it said, "Hi, person. I am Amy with Tennessee Surveys. We've opened up a short poll regarding emergency care and Fairview. Make sure your voice is heard." Well, if you clicked on that, you would have seen that this was something that was sent out by TriStar, because the question is related to if you've ever been to a TriStar ER facility. So it wasn't if you had been to an Ascension or if you needed ER service just generically. There were a couple questions that were generic and related to Fairview, but then the real questions that they care about were still in there too. City debris cleanup has started on March 16th, and so make sure you'll see those things traveling around. And then if you're in the county, I've still not found any decisive news of when they're going to do anything for county people. State of emergency is still going on till March 22nd, and so I guess they're going to keep the state of emergency until all the debris has been cleaned up, Bowie Park's opened, and they have gotten their applications for all the federal money, is I guess what it has to be. Easter egg hunt, that's still March 28th at 10 a.m., and it's moved to the Lions Club Ballpark at 214 Highway 96, so make sure you get there. And like we talked about, Ascension Health ER, and this is the double hospital trouble, Ascension Health ER and TriStar Fairview ER were both announced. And I'm trying to look on the status of each one, and there's not anything posted on the state of Tennessee yet for other applications. TriStar was at the farmer's market this weekend, trying to, you know, get some people to sign things and, you know, just be out there to be the favorite. And so I put the two addresses in there. So Ascension is at 1866 Fairview Boulevard, and they spent $700,000 on that piece of property on 12/29/21. And the TriStar property is at 2273 Fairview Boulevard, and they spent $1.5 million on that piece of property on 8/15/25. And the same person who bought and is in charge, I guess, of buying the real estate there, Ken Carger, has also bought other properties up and down Fairview Boulevard. So the 2273 being the main one, and then the 2382 being just down from the road from it, and then a 2391 where they spent $1 million back in 2023. So there's probably other TriStar related things coming if that person is still working from there. One thing that that came out was the Fairview Community Community Education FCE scholarship is the thing. I didn't know that. That's at the high school, and seniors is a Schoology page. This year it's $2,000, and it has a flyer for the scholarship information, and that's due this week on March 20th. So if you've got a kid in there and you haven't heard of this $2,000 scholarship, every little bit helps when you're going over there to college. Last week, also the fire crews completed their annual reinspection and training on vehicle extraction, thanks to the MJ Sun Wrecker LLC, which continues to provide support and the needs to have that, to have those cars. So thank you for MJ and Sun for doing that. Scam alert. This is another thing posted by the city. We reported scammers that are advertising that they are hosting a craft fair on April 11th and 12th at Bowie. The city has not approved any business or organization or individual to have an event at Bowie on these days. And I mean, I guess it may still be closed by then too. So pay attention to that. So here's a few reminders to help protect you from scammers. Never send money and gift cards to people over the phone that you do not know or on the internet. Never reveal personal information like your banking information or social security number over the phone or the internet. Always ask questions and details from the caller, and just don't be afraid to just hang up if it sounds like that. Last but not least, Fairview has a story that was written by the people and who built it. So on April 2nd, along with citizen Bert Hester, this is from Don DeBuffalini, there will be an introduction of a resolution at the Board of Commissioners meeting to encourage new developments to honor Fairview's past by naming at least one street after a resident who made a lasting impact. As our city continues to grow, it is a responsibility that we make the growth respect and reflect who we are and who we are not and where we're going. This initiative about preserving our history, honoring those members who served us and gave back, making sure the future generations recognize the names that shaped Fairview. So Bert and Don are asking for your input. There's a link to the form in the show notes. And let's continue to work together to make Fairview's future never forget its past. Houses. Well, there is 236 for sale from 230 last week. So we got six new ones. We still got the $3.9 million world record holder and the $230,000 out there. Another thing is this period there was 12 homes sold, with the most expensive being $1,537,204. And the minimum one piece of property was sold this period, February 23rd through 27th, was $103,000. So the average home sold out of those 12 was $619,000. Well, I went back and dug through all the house selling records, basically for the past, call it 14 months, from February 23rd through 27th to December 30th from there. And we have had 544 homes sold. The most expensive was $7.83 million. And the cheapest thing in that period of time was a little chunk of land for $13,100. And that means our average that we had like a couple weeks ago of $600,000 isn't that far off, because it's $687,000 is our average. So I don't think affordable housing is something that's possible with the way everything else is around here in Williamson County, not just Fairview. So I'll post that chart in a separate post because I think it's interesting. Town meeting updates. Well, there was no Board of Zoning Appeals. There was a meeting with the Local Parks and Recreation Fund grant at 6 p.m. on March 17th. And this was to talk about if awarded this. And this is Kim Lee Horn, who's been, I guess, preparing this. And so I have all the slides in here. I'm not going to read every single thing, otherwise this would take forever. But Kim Lee Horn and 906 Studio has been working with the city since August of 2024 to start making the planning and the grant for this. And so this was part of the master plan, the Parks Master Plan in 2023. I have a link to that in the show notes. And basically, it's a 50-50 match grant. And the historic park is across from the rec center, if you look to that. And that there's 10,009 residents living here. And there were some good demographics, which we won't get into all that. But the Parks Master Plan has this. It's 175 pages. It was made in 2023, so in 2028 it'll probably get updated. And this is basically the goals of what we wanted in our park system in Fairview, Tennessee. So we got all that going. They talked about some of the cost associated with that, and the sustainability, and kind of like the vicinity and the grading of the place, so that they could have this amphitheater and 36 parking spaces, 24 bays for a farmer's market, and kind of a walking path that's ADA compliant. So lots of cool things kind of in there. You know, this is 50% of the fund will be funded by that. 25% of the fund of this project will be funded by the land, which it appraised for over $700,000. So that's what they need. And then 25% will be matched by city funds. So we will pay 25% of this value. And so this whole thing is $2.6 million, and $2.25 will go into there. And there's a couple different things for stormwater improvements, the ADA compliant, and the stage and farmers market. So it's mostly, it's even between landscaping and stormwater improvements, and then actually building the stage, the farmers market, and the restroom building. And the land value is $760,000. Basically, this is like a 3-year timeline. They expect it to be more. They had some new renderings in here, so we've got those in the show notes so you can see those. Gives you a little bit of the scale of what it's going to be like. And talked about how, you know, there is parking that is available from a city-owned property down Deer Ridge, but that would be a separate discussion if they can use that TDEC money for that. So we'll have to see how that goes. They think it's a very high success rate as long as you fill the things in correctly on getting this grant. And so I think that part's good. This has been going on for a while, and they wrapped up with some thank yous and looking forward to get this going. So Planning Commission, basically we gained around 57 houses, but there were some people that didn't show up. So we had a Planning Commission meeting on 3/17/26. We were missing Ms. Schilling, Mr. Dawson, and Mr. Ritt, I think, were the three. Sometimes it's not very clear. They don't mic that stuff very well, and then you can't really see some of the stuff. Agenda passed 7-0, so there was only 7 people there. PC Resolution 826 passed 7-0. This is 50 homes. This is North American Realty. This is 2.7 acres plus 29.17, 31.95 acres total. This did not show up properly on the agenda. It was not updated in time because it was only the 29.7 acre property listed. To be on there. This was already set to be residential medium in the 2040 plan. Mr. Nathan came out there, and basically this is just a Orange Shire expansion with 20,000 square foot lots on it. There was a question about the agenda and where it came from. But there was also a mention of the zone to and from, and even an updated one where they kept the template to show there. They're thinking no more than 40 to 50 homes, but then when he was talking about it, he said 50 a couple times when he was mentioning how many plots there are. So it looks like it's more like 50 and not 40. Mr. McDonald, with the highway, he asked about the traffic and the zoning and all that. And since there is only one entrance and exit and there's more than 30, there will have to be sprinklers in these houses. And the way this thing will work is it has its next reading on March 19th, and April 2nd will be its final reading, so it won't be too long. This property is converted from RS20 to CD3, and that would be May 2nd when it would be the final reading and would be converted for them, which still leaves them that 20,000 square foot. There wasn't any traffic studies completed because they're under the limit net now, and they also talked about kind of the Sunday traffic of how this thing will flow coming in and out of there. There was also a conversation about Dixon Water and if they may have to install a step system. They're not far enough along, I guess, to know that and what they've been working with, because there are lots of limits from Dixon Water. Mr. McDonald said, even if we didn't pass this tonight, it's still going to become CD3 on the map. And they said yes, unless the map was amended. CD3 equals 4 ohms per acre with a 70 to maximum 150 foot wide lot and single family homes. The general counsel made sure and made a note that says you can't talk about the future. You're exceeding your power and discretion, which is impossible. You need to look at what's in front of you, that this is R20 PUD. General counsel, we have to deal with what's in front of us. And if there's a deficiency, that's fine. But we have to vote what's on front of us and not what could be in the future. And then that was all resorted in there. So that passed 7-0. PC Resolution 926, it passed 7-0. This is 4.81 acres, unknown density plans. The 2040 plan shows that it's there. No representatives, no questions. There we go. Then the one that took forever that night is 1026. And that is passed 6-1 with Mr. King and no. 4 to 5 homes is what's planning to go here. This is a 2040 plan, shows that it's there, but RS15 is not in alignment. May 7th is when the final reading of that development code would come in there. No representative came there, and so basically they were sitting there going back and forth on questions, the driveway access, the alignment to there, and Mayor Anderson coming through there of what's more in there. And so we didn't have any more details of what they wanted, so it looked like it could only be 4 to 5 houses. So This one kind of just got discussed back and forth, and this is on Horntaver Road, and this is 2 more acres, and this is there's one right beside it again. That's another 2 acres on Horntaver Road, basically gluing this together where they're going to have one house and build 4 to 5 more houses based on that. And this one also passed 6-1 with Mr. King as a no. And then 1226 pretty much took about 30 minutes on its own. And this actually got passed as a deferral. The representative that came there got there, but basically this is a 7,900 square foot commercial tenant with 3 tenant spaces on Glen Haven Drive called the Jingo Retail Center. There's 25 parking spots. They wanted a tree bank exception and an underground water detention request are also part of this. Mr. Chase was the person that came there, came to the city staff on Haven Drive talking about widening it 12 feet and making a 6-foot curb. There's also stuff at the intersection Highway 100, and this curb is on the south side. There's some rolled curb that would be done, and they're trying to just keep the thing simple and use the same existing TDOT drainage because the current drainage and retention pond versus detention pond has already been there. But Mr. Pape looked at this and found that there were some variances there, that a 20-foot landscaping strip was required, and that there was 20% slopes on the property, and there was a question of if you can even build on it with the way the new development code is written. And so we'll have to see how that kind of goes. There's a lot of large silence, and then this was a lot of time. There's probably 5+ minutes of Mr. Greer and the engineering team looking through stuff. Mr. McDonald would like to hear about the buffer and the slopes from the code staff. The city staff talked about how Mr. Pape is right, but this is a case-by-case basis, and the city staff would work on this. And the square footage based on the steep space, and then, you know, there was 5,000 square foot, which is right at the limit with city staff. They went back and forth at isolated slopes, and Mr. Pape just commented up on 13102.2, and this is about stormwater versus the infrastructure building, so either one of those could do it, but then this is either still unbuildable or would require a variance. We talked about, Mr. McDonald said we should just come back with a variance. General counsel says the request is what it is, and it's a fair request as it is. Is there any way it could be designed? And our idea was to change a couple things there. City staff went and looked at the codes, a long time back and forth, said that it looked like it had the right buffer, but the opaque buffer, which could be provided by a fence, wasn't crystal clear. And this is where general counsel says you might get a denial tonight. If you think your application, you might want to get a deferral. And he's actually helping them. And Mr. Chase went to go talk to the developer. Mayor Anderson said, you know, this zoning code gives the staff the opportunity to variances or not for it to be accepted. And that this is what the staff knows of the knowledge of the planning. And then they went back and forth. General counsels came back again saying that this notes is 5-minute timetable and deferred. We're spending so much time on this. We should just vote or deferral. And so they went back. And finally, the Mr. Chase and team said that they were okay for there for these variances, and they're going for there. So it finally came back and got deferred. There's a whole bunch more there, but we'll just go ahead and skip it. We got a picture of it. It looks like a good looking building. Kind of looks like the one where Papa John's and all that's in right now. So this is, we'll see how this goes. So in next month, they'll have those variances updated, and then we'll have, I guess, another debate on this with the Board of Commissioners. With the Planning Commission first. Other than that, there was just, everybody said thank yous, Mr. Pape, everybody, and thank you for the staff to working on this, and we're looking forward to the new zoning getting done, so lots of good stuff there. And then they adjourned. No Board of Commissioners meeting. March 17th was also that Parks and Landscape Board, so we had that was done. Next town meetings, Planning Commission's on April 14th, Board of Commissioners is on March 19th, so just later this week. And on that Board of Commissioners meeting, basically they're going to talk about city events, some veteran park estimates for some of the things that the American Legion's doing, so that'll be good to see. Resolution 6225 is basically to formally accept subdivision improvements associated with Adams Preserve, basically wrapping up that subdivision. 2026-02 is adopted by the Fairview zoning map and adopting the new development codes. This is the Board of Commissioners voting on the board development code and the new zoning map. Ordinance 2026-01 is a 62.53 acre located on Horn Taver Road, consisting of Williamson County tax map there. And this is going from RS40 to RS15. So stuffing some houses in there for sure. So that's really going to be, I mean, when I look at Horn Taver Road and how crazy it is to turn in there and that kind of blind curve, and I think about 62 acres and RS15, that could mean 100 plus homes. I don't know how they're going to handle that traffic, but we'll see. And then there was a public hearing on 2026-03, which is a 5.3 acre thing on Northwest Highway, going from RS40 to R20. And I think this is the one that was one of the donut holes that was getting filled up of getting annexed and now getting rezoned. New business 1126, Board of Commissioners, the site development agreement of the Fairview self-storage place and some of that. Resolution 1226 is a $1,010,000 allocation. Therefore, the where was this one? Oh, it's just at doing the capital outlay for 2026. Okay, all right. 1326 is the William County to rescind resolution 22620, and we'll adhere to when Williamson County interlocal growth plan. So basically, agreeing to their growth plan plus Fairview's plan getting squished together. And resolution 1526 is authorizing the mayor to execute task orders for emergency debris removal and emergency debris monitoring services for the city of Fairview, Tennessee, for the city manager. So basically, this is just a formal change of power for some of that kind of stuff. Board of Commissioners, next town hall is April 30th. Parks and Landscape, next one is April 6th. And then Around Town Coffee is in April also. So we'll get to that. State of Tennessee. Well, you know, this was kind of a interesting news week when it came to the state of Tennessee. But when Tennessee lawmakers legalized sports betting in 2019, they hoped that it would create a new revenue source. But nearly 7 years later, the Tennessee sports gambling tax revenue exceeds $100 million. The state lottery funded scholarship program faces an $80 million deficit. So basically, gambling is bringing in more money for some of this stuff than lottery. And people are not playing the lottery as much if they have an $80 million budget deficit. And then the Tennessee Department of Health is providing a statewide information following more than 30 fatal overdoses since October of 2025 associated with a newly identified opioid known as cyclomorphine. So definitely stay away from that stuff. The first time I've heard of that, and I guess it's just a morphine derivative that's been something. Number three, we got Tennessee is poised to be the first state to require proof of immigration status as a requirement. As an overturn to challenging the U.S. Supreme Court's 1982 decision of Player versus Doe, which barred schools from discriminating children based on immigration status. But House Republicans on March 16th passed House Bill 793, directing public schools to require students to provide proof of immigration status at enrollment. Schools will be required to report that number of students back up to there to proof of there. NES was definitely in the news still as a couple more of these news channels dig in deeper to find out some of the problems that they had during the storm, and that they actually had less linemen with more customers than Middle Tennessee Electric. They didn't even have enough poles. They had to buy like 800 poles. They had delays in getting contractors, and how they handled the whole customer triage of the outages, why people were out for power for almost 2 weeks there. The Bills. Well, you know, they're kind of slowing down again, but there's only one thing on the agenda for this week and next week. But one of the things was SB 242, Homes Not Hedge Funds, was something that kind of came up there, the landlord bill. And this is to try to prevent homes from there. And basically what this is it's like legal entities, including affiliates, meaning a company can't just create 10 LLCs and buy 99 homes in each one. So this is trying to get some of the business of owning some homes and obviously the rental market in the state of Tennessee down. So this vote was recorded in there. So I've got the link in there for that. And so Today, there is, or the 19th, there is a fiscal review, which basically just has a list of a bunch of companies and them talking about all the things they're doing for health and for children and education and everything else in between there. So there's some budget stuff that will definitely happen from there. And next week on 3/23, there is the State Building Commission. There's no agenda posted yet, but I'm sure it's like the ones that we've covered in the past, which is a percentage of money that's allocated to all these projects around the state, from colleges to buildings to the VA, of how much money it's going to take, and then if they have a change order. How's the hill? Well, it's definitely, well, after a tornado watch earlier this week and some crazy winds and storms, we went from 75 to 31 in just a couple of hours when we went to sleep and woke up the next day. But maybe we're done with the cold, hopefully. I don't know what that groundhog said again, but we'll see. But the hill is definitely passable, back to normal. Most of the debris is removed from that road, so it's good. This week, the weather guessers are predicting highs from 59 to 89 and lows from 40 to 60 with no rain forecasted beyond 10% for the week. So it looks like it's going to be a beautiful weekend too. New businesses, nothing new is spotted. Jingo Java has moved over to Uncle Lenny's and Vigilance Martial Arts has moved to Publix. Ace Hardware is getting a lot closer. Other than that, I haven't really spotted anything else new. There are a couple of properties still for sale, two commercial properties, one on Drag Street Road and Loblolly Pine Boulevard. And then for lease, there's another 7610 Drag Strip Road and 1701 and 2332 Fairview Boulevard are for lease, along with the building behind Dunkin' Donuts that looks like a house where Dos Margaritas is. So both of those are there. Looks like there is going to be a new golf game, golf club at behind Food Saver at the Old Liberty Church there up on the hill. And they've posted that. That's the 1890 Golf Club. We'll have to see how that goes as they get closer. You can see them renovating it and they got the dumpster up there. So that's exciting. Farmers Market. Make sure you head to the Farmers Market every weekend, Saturday morning, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Messick Chiropractic and Fairview Fresh Deli Donuts, located across the road from Publix. There's so many good places and great breads and treats and beef and local beef and pork, local fruits and vegetables, along with hot sausage, fishing lures, and other gifts all time of the year. Brick and mortar highlight, we're going to talk about Old Dos Margaritas. This has been one of the staples since 2011 for Mexican food in the town. It used to be the spot before Cano's, but they're still rocking it. They are fast and the prices are great, so it's definitely cheaper. So it's a great option if you need something fast and good and you actually want to sit down. Satisfy your cravings with their festive dine-in experience, convenient takeout, and featuring a full menu of delicious options. Visit our full bar and refreshing margaritas and explore our daily specials showcasing vibrant Mexican taste. Don't miss our happy hour from 3 to 6 p.m. for your favorite drinks. And with a diverse vegetarian options, you can enjoy a delightful meal. So make sure you come out to Dos Margaritas Grill. Got the link on the website. Job openings. Well, we went from 44 to 44. So the same number of jobs are open from last week to this week. And that's basically every store and place that you see up and down the strip has somebody, but there's also a maintenance crew position in the city of and for the Bowie Park and a police officer position open, and pretty much every other store. And then there's other places that you might not see. Looks like Unity Chiropractic might be in the new shopping center over by Publix or by Papa John's, I should say. Because their address is there right now where they've got that posted. So I guess there could be two chiropractors in town eventually one day. History nugget. Well, 1756 is how far we've made it into our history. The mayor, Andrew Lewis, built Fort Virginia in near Oakota on Cherokee land, 25 miles southeast of Knoxville. Not much time passed before the Native Americans destroyed that fort. Because they were definitely in the center of Cherokee country. The English also built Fort Loudoun, which is now Monroe, Tennessee, with the intention of keeping the Cherokee loyalty divided. The plan failed in 1760. The Cherokee surrounded that fort and finally assassinated by most of the captives. So in spite of the English disaster, the French lost the war and all their leverage in North America and ceded the territory to the English, who claimed the right to all lands east of the Mississippi River. And so the Battle of the Lands goes on. Upcoming events, nothing really to recap since last show. New events that are coming. We got the Fairview Family and Community Education, the FCE Book Club is going on. This is on March 18th, and so you can join them there. They're LinkedIn at work, but basically they're reading Kristen Hannah's The Woman, and they meet at 1:45 to 1:50 p.m. With that link not working, I don't have the location. March 21st was supposed to be the Star Party in Bassas with Dyer at the Bowie Nature Park. That's definitely canceled in there. March 21st for family and March 28th for adult spring skate night at the Fairview Rec Center from 5 to 7:30. And so, obviously, the family night is 80's request hour is 6:30 to 7:30, and the adult side is 60's request hour is 6:30 to 7:30. $5 per skate, $4 for bringing a friend. So definitely check that out. April 28th is still the Fairview Titans Junior Pro First Annual Four-Man Golf Scramble. So pay attention for that because that's still happening. And we've got all the details and signups for there and there. Easter Egg Hunt is at the ballpark on Highway 96 on March 28th. And they still have the Arts and Crafts Fair May 2nd at Bowie Park. So they have posted yet again that they're still cleaning up and they've got contractors. And I think everyone's frustration level is just getting worse and worse and worse because they want to get into back into Bowie. So we'll see that. Obviously, this is also an election year. So right now, between now, it's your absentee ballot time. But early voting will be April 15th through 30th. And August 6th is that state and county general primary when you're going to actually vote on all the good stuff there. Then for the kids, well, there are still tons of things to do in the city to keep your kids engaged. There are cheer programs, recreation teams, baseball, basketball, softball, football, and others. There's a thriving Girl Scout and Scouts BSA program or Scouting America program. If you have a homeschooler, make sure you're always checking out Bowie Park schedule because there's lots of clubs that meet there. If you have kids interested in dance, gymnastics, or cheer, please check out Lala's Dance Studio and Elevate Gymnastics and Cheer. Vigilance Martial Arts is a local taekwondo and jiu-jitsu school that teaches way more than just moves. And the Fairview Youth Wrestling Program, Jacket Youth Wrestling Program, has great programs over the summer, and they've made a lot of state champions, so they've got a really good thing. School news. Well, April 3rd, we're kind of waiting for this next, quote, spring holiday, but we really know that as Good Friday, and the rest of the world does too, so it's kind of always interesting when they do that. March 21st or May 21st is our last half day of school. Dismissal at 11:20. Hawk and Tiger news. No new news since last week, but you know we mentioned it last time is Westwood was turned 25 years old last week, and there was lots of people posting about how they were some of the first kids to go there 25 years ago. Falcon news. Well, teacher of the week was Miss Jones, who's one of the media specialists. There is a parenting Zoom that's talking about youth vaping on April 22nd and what you need to know. But March 19th, we had a PTO meeting at the library, JV baseball at the home with Freedom at Fairview Ballpark. Varsity baseball was away. Home soccer versus Freedom. Varsity was at 4 p.m. and JV's at 5:30. JV softball away at Poplar Grove at 4:15. And then on March 20th, we had the middle school's art throwdown and the report cards. So make sure you're checking that. And then Sunday, March 22nd, the girls flag football home game against Charlotte at the FHA's football field. JV at 2 p.m. and varsity at 3 p.m. March 31st, yearbooks, order, or dues. And then Fairview Families in partnership with Daryl Waltrip Automotive Group. The middle school is participating in Drive Away Hunger from Our Food. March 16th through April 2nd, middle school has chosen Graceworks is where they're doing that, and they run the big food bank. So what do they need? They need family-sized cereal, canned meat, hearty meals, instant rice, soup, tuna, shampoo, deodorant, diapers of all sizes, household cleaners, boxed meals, canned fruit, jelly, pasta, spaghetti sauce, tomato sauce, canned vegetables, bath soap, toothpaste, toilet paper, and then pudding cups, jello cups, raisins, fruit snacks, juice boxes, cereal, peanut butter, cheese, cracker, mac and cheese, salty snacks, and microwavable meats. So that's there. McTeacher Night is coming back again April 1st. So that will be coming up, and you'll see there. So family is going to say 15% of the proceeds are going to go towards FMS and towards PBIS, and we'll have apple pies. So come April 1st, 4:30 to 7:30, and we'll see you there. FMS awards are coming. So if your student is nominated, you will be getting a notification. May 20th will be the class of 2030 promotion ceremony. So you'll get notified about that too if you are a rising eighth grader going into art school. The art club will meet on March 20th. It'll be 2 hours with a normal end time. Play auditions for Charlotte's Web start April 9th through 11th. So if you're interested, make sure you fill out the Schoology form. And the first track meet for the middle school is this Friday at Ravenwood. So run like the wind, bullseye. Congratulations to all the students that are still in the Frist Art Museum from the Williamson County Superintendent's Art Show from March 7th through 22nd. So just until this weekend.
Jacket news.
Well, no new news without a newsletter. So we still are in the 21 days of ACT. Tis the season. And the 2026 prom is April 18th. Tickets are $90. You must be a junior or senior. It's a masquerade theme. Yearbooks need to be purchased before April 3rd. There's a mandatory parent meeting for the youth high school Lady Jacket soccer on April 9th to check out there. And one thing, the Fairview High School PTO is looking for volunteers. So they need a president, a vice president, a secretary, and a treasurer. And I've got that QR code and that link there for you to do that. So definitely check that out. And then obviously if you have any students driving, then yeah, fill out the forms on there. Faith moment. Well, this week I wanted to do something related to the show number because I just searched if there was some kind of significance with the show, with the number 26. And when I did that, I found out that the sum of these four letters are 26, and it's the Hebrew word for Yahweh, YHWH. There's, you know, this article basically in the Bronze and Iron Age for the religion of ancient Israel and Judah, Yahwism. For the modern monotheistic conception of Yahweh is the God in Judaism and the God in Christianity. So the Hebrew thenonym is YHWH, is also called the Tetragrammaton, used Yahweh from there. And I'm going to mess all these words up, but I'm just trying my best here. The deity's name was written in Paleo Hebrew, which was those letters, and then in block script, we have it in the show notes, translated to Yahweh. Modern scholarship has reached a consistent that it just transcribes this to Yahweh. The shortened version forms of Yeho and Yahu and Yah and Yo appear in the personal names and phrases such as Hallelujah. This sacrility of this name is well known, a commandment of taking the Lord's name in vain led to the increasingly strict prohibition of speaking or writing this term at all. Rabbinic sources suggest that by the Second Temple period, the name of God was officially pronounced only once a year by the high priest on the Day of Atonement. After the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 CE, the original pronunciation of the name was forgotten entirely. The four-letter name is also commonly known as the Tetragrammaton. As we've got that is a four-letter name, so kind of interesting. And the Tetragrammaton is derived from the Hebrew root meaning to be, to exist, is often referred to as I am, the existing one, he who causes to become. It signifies God's eternal life and self-existent nature. And so we've got some of this stuff there. And like the four letters are Yod, Hey, Vav, and He, and that's read right to left. And so this is basically the way you say this is all from there. My Lord, Hashem, Adani, and Yahweh. It's all different ways between there. So kind of interesting that 26 happened to be related to that. So I had to definitely call that out. So donations, nothing new on the donation front. We're still working on there. If you can support us, that would be great. Because right now it kind of feels like, you know, just talking to the microphone. And I think some people are listening. I see downloads, but I don't see any value coming back. No one's using like the Fountain app or anything like that to send a donation. But we appreciate everyone listening and sharing the podcast and letting people know that, hey, there's some actual good information in here. And this whole podcast is broken into chapters, so you can skip around if there's a section that goes too long and you're not interested in. Just hit the next, especially if you're using a podcasting 2.0 app. Overall, you know, thank you. Thank you. I hope you found this podcast helpful. Please support the show with your time, talents, and treasure. If you have any ideas or suggestions, please share it with us. You're a producer of the show. You know, you're spending your time listening to this and you're learning things, hopefully, about Fairview, Tennessee, and our state. If you've got any talents or skills that might help the show or Fairview, let us know. Treasure, you're receiving this product for free without paid advertisements. You're getting truly local news. And if that's worth something, please consider supporting us financially using the value for value system so that we can do more. And please follow us more on social media and hellofairview.com. And a lot more things are coming. Y'all have a great day. Later, y'all.